My name's Cynthia Wilson, and this message is for you. This podcast covers micro motivators to encourage you to act because small actions can make a big difference in your life. Today's message is speak with intention. So here we are in episode 8, and I am very pleased to announce that I have a special guest with me today. That's my twin sister, Christine Wilson. Welcome, Christine.
Hi, Cindy.
So the reason that I brought Christine on is because she has been working on public speaking for a number of years and has done so a lot through the organization with Toastmasters. So we're going to be talking about public speaking today. So Christine, what inspired you to want to improve your public speaking?
Well, back in 2014, I was selected to participate in a leadership development program through work. This program took me outside of my comfort zone, in front of my computer, working on spreadsheets, and thrust me into a process improvement project with a team of colleagues. During this program, we had to deliver presentations in front of our peers from other Tokio Marine companies and in front of executives. That experience terrified me. However, during those presentations, I only had to speak for about 1 or 2 minutes. And I always managed to get through them, even though my heart would race, I would turn bright red, and I would sweat. It was very uncomfortable. But what really drove me to seek out Toastmasters and to improve my public speaking skills was the second offsite that was part of that program that was focused on public speaking skills. We were given a scenario and we had to deliver messages to different audiences of different sizes. During the first breakout session, when it was my turn to speak in front of the small group, I froze. I was so worried that what I had to say was not as good as what everybody else had already said. I was flustered. I was embarrassed. So much so that I did not even participate in the rest of the public speaking exercises during that offsite. I was so upset. I felt like such a failure. At the end of the program, I sought out Toastmasters to overcome that feeling of failure.
Well, thanks for sharing that story. That's a lot to go through. And I'm sure that a lot of people can relate here to just looking at the anxiety that comes with public speaking. So you mentioned just that's kind of how you got involved with Toastmasters, but once you're involved with Toastmasters, you've took on a whole new world with that. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Most people think of Toastmasters as a place to build their public speaking skills, which it certainly is, but their motto is where leaders are made. So while there is a big component of public speaking and communication skills, there is also a big part of Toastmasters is built on leadership skills. Over the course of the past 10 years of being a Toastmaster, I've also built leadership skills by serving in different club officer roles, by serving in different local roles like area director and division director, and finally by starting a club at my company where I get to witness and support my colleagues in their own public speaking and leadership journeys.
That's awesome. What do you believe are the key elements of an effective speech?
The first thing you want to know is, what is your message? That is paramount. Once you know your message, who is your audience? Because you'll want to tailor your speech to your specific audience. Remember, you're not speaking just to speak. You're speaking to share information or to inspire or entertain an audience. Once you have those components and you're working on your speech structure, you want to start with a strong opening that's going to grab the audience's attention. And you want to have a strong closing, which could be a call to action or a call back to your opening.
How do you prepare for a speech, and what are some of your personal rituals or practices before performing a speech?
This has changed over the years. When I started in Toastmasters and I had to deliver my very first speech, I wrote out word for word what I was going to say. I walked up to the front of the room with a piece of paper and basically read my speech. Then I would write my speech word for word and try to memorize it. But that can be tricky because if you forget what you're going to say and you're reading it in your head, then you might mess up and it could be difficult to recover from that. With experience, I've been able to make notes of what I want to say and then practice, but not necessarily deliver things word for word. One of the tools that I use is the voice memo app on the phone. I can record that and even turn that into a transcript and then edit that transcript. And then I have a record of what I want to say, which might not be necessarily what I say when I deliver that speech, but that's okay because the audience doesn't know what you are going to say. They only know what you actually said.
Great. Thank you. Can you share a memorable experience where you overcame a challenging audience or situation during a speech?
Luckily, I haven't experienced speaking in front of a challenging audience, but I will say that the toughest speeches that I've had to deliver were outside of Toastmasters, and those were eulogies for our parents and our friend Kate. Delivering a eulogy is something that people don't want to do. And luckily, with the background and experience that I had in Toastmasters, that was something that I could raise my hand and volunteer to do. Delivering those eulogies was difficult, but also very meaningful. Another more positive time was when my coworker Carol retired. And during her retirement party, I was put on the spot to say a few words and lead everybody in a toast. She actually thought that I had prepared the remarks that I said, but I had not. It was
That's
just all
amazing.
those years of training that prepared me for that moment.
Yeah, that's really amazing. It's a great like proof point in how you can take the lessons from this and make it work for you on the spot. How do you handle your nerves and anxiety before or during a speech?
Deep breaths help, especially right before the speech. Sometimes I will walk a bit just to get some of that energy going. One thing that's been really important to me is to understand that generally the audience is on your side. And that really helps because, again, you're sharing something with the audience. There might be a person or two in the room who wants to point out everything that you said that was wrong. That's okay. But for the most part, the people in the audience are much happier to be in their seats than in your seat. And they want you to succeed. And knowing that and keeping that in mind really takes off some of the weight that a speaker can feel.
It's such a great perspective. Thanks for sharing that. What are the most common mistakes people make when giving a speech, and how can they avoid them?
One thing that I see speakers do is thank the audience. They might do it at the very beginning of their speech. They might do it at the very end of the speech. But as speakers, you should know that you don't need to thank the audience. You might be grateful for that opportunity to speak, but you're giving something to the audience. The audience thanks you with their applause. So instead of beginning your speech with thanking them or ending your speech with thanking them, use a strong, captivating opening or strong closing instead of thanking the audience. The other mistake that I've seen, and I've certainly done this myself, is throwing too much information into a speech. Depending on the length of time that you have, the audience might only remember 3 or 5 points. Focus on those, elaborate on them, repeat them. Don't try to overwhelm your audience with too much information in a short amount of time because they won't remember it all.
Those are really great points, Chris.
Thanks.
Thanks so much. So, what tactics do you use to engage and connect with your audience?
I have to reiterate what I said earlier about knowing your audience. That is key, and that's going to drive how you connect and engage with them. One of the things that you can do is ask a question that can get people to raise their hands or smile and nod. Getting the people to physically engage with you during your speech can really help keep them awake and off of their phones.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm trying to think about speeches that I've been to and how many speakers actually do that where they're asking a question of the audience first. I think that's really fascinating. I'm sure it has happened a lot. So, in your opinion, how has public speaking evolved with the rise of digital communication platforms like Teams and Zoom and WebEx and others?
While some of those tools were available prior to 2020, many of us had to adapt to them quickly with little notice when the pandemic hit in early 2020. It was definitely a change from delivering a speech in person to delivering speech online. One of the key differences is how you make eye contact with your audience. It took me a long time to be comfortable making eye contact while speaking in person. But when you're doing that on Zoom or on Teams or other online platforms, instead of looking at people on the screen to simulate that eye contact, you need to look at the camera so that they feel as though you're looking at them. And that's been an adjustment. Another adjustment is that oftentimes when you're speaking online, if you're giving a presentation, you might have everybody else muted so that there aren't any distractions. That means that you don't hear any of the audience's feedback, like their laughter or their cheers. And that's a different feeling. I just delivered a presentation this past week in person, and it was so different to get that live feedback than it is on these digital platforms.
I feel like I had that experience pretty early in my career because I was helping libraries with implementing systems. And I early on had some libraries who were hearing impaired. So it became a requirement for me to be on video for them, but nobody else was. So the change that I saw really was that so many more people were willing to be on video just as the pandemic happened and everybody was in a remote environment and it was a form of connection, for people who were in otherwise isolation. And now we see, as we're here several years later, looking at people just turn the camera from meetings. Sometimes it's bandwidth, sometimes it's related to, okay, I'm going to let the speaker have the stage. But it also, it doesn't always allow for the speaker to see everybody and get the reactions or even just a smile on somebody's face during the course of the discussion or speech. So, what advice would you give to someone who wants to improve their public speaking skills but is afraid of speaking in front of others.
First of all, I would say I've been in your shoes. That was me 10 years ago. And it will be uncomfortable, but you just have to do it. That's how you're going to get over it. I've found that Toastmasters has been a really supportive environment for practicing public speaking and honestly for making mistakes. It's okay if you make a mistake. It's not the end of the world. That is something that I've learned as being a Toastmaster. Making a mistake is okay. Being uncomfortable is okay. In fact, if you're uncomfortable, you're probably in the right spot. You're probably learning, growing, and changing.
That's great. I also found that I would give some of my team, I'm a manager at my work, and I would give some of my team the little push to go and attend some Toastmaster sessions. And during that, I would see that they would build up in their confidence, which was something that was great to see. Not that they were really shy or otherwise before, but just they were able to do that. They were able to do a eulogy for a family member, or just in how they presented themselves, they just started to build confidence. And even sadly, if that meant that they would explore other opportunities because they have grown. But sad for me, happy for them, let me be clear. So I'm always happy to see my team grow. But it's really been an opportunity where they could also get leadership that I couldn't provide to them because I'm, really small team in the organization and not a lot of upward mobility. So it's great to have those leadership opportunities within Toastmasters as well. And I was encouraged to do that by Christine. And since I've seen her growth through all of this work with Toastmasters that she's done over the last several years, it's been really wonderful to see you grow in this way, Chris. So
Thank you.
thanks for sharing your experiences with us. So to wrap up here, for those looking to enhance their public speaking skills, what resources would you recommend?
First of all, I'd recommend Toastmasters International. You can find local clubs at toastmasters.org. There are over 14,000 clubs worldwide, and each club runs itself. So it's every club is its own unit. And in Toastmasters, you learn by doing. I feel like when it comes to public speaking and building leadership skills, learning by doing is the most effective way. But I will say that other online learning platforms like LinkedIn Learning offer courses on public speaking. You can find public speaking videos on YouTube as well. But I would reiterate that learning by doing, I think, is the best way.
I think another great resource that I've seen for people is about TED Talks or TEDx. And you can see a lot of people have grown through public speaking with the TED Talks platform as well. So that may be something else for everybody to take a look into. And so the message this week again is speak with intention. And remember, this message is for you.